try to go to Colossians 3 again. Second chapter. No, third chapter. Again, these are issues about exchanging gods. If you believe what the scripture says, we've always been a vessel for deity. Since the fall, we were a vessel for the evil one. That's really difficult to believe. That all our hopes and aspirations and ideas and everything that the human race has done is of the evil one. Anybody believe that?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I know there's a lot of evil in the human race. I have trouble with that at all. Everything the mind does is evil. I've always struggled with that a little bit. What do you think, Eric? What was it, my thought?
We studied something last night. It had something to do with the mind. I was not trying to remember it, too. Sorry, I can't.
Well, let's look at, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your thoughts, your being, your whole entire entity. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, you're not dead until you're dead. You're not dead because the scriptures say you're dead. You're dead when you're dead. Understand?
So the person who is doing the setting their affections on things, that person's not dead.
It's setting the affections on things of the earth, then
there's somebody inside of you that's setting affection on things of the kingdom. So that person,
that's the Christ, risen Christ.
That is Christ. So that is our life.
That's from beyond, but it's not your life until he is your life.
When do you cross the threshold?
When there's any issue about anything in the world, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, it's the same test that Jesus had. Satan tempted him, the evil one tempted him, his mind tempted him, the Son of Man. Well, let's look at that again. We can't look at that too much. Look at Luke 4. Okay. He was at his weakest position that he'd ever been. If you believe it, he hadn't eaten anything for 40 days. He was probably so weak that he could barely move. First thing he did after his baptism, to see whether he was really dead or not, a son of man. And that was by God. But it was still the evil one in him, the son of man, that was trying to get him to give some importance to the world. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now, we don't know everything that he was tempted with. We only know these four things. But because they're here, they're kind of important. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. Can you imagine fasting for 40 days? Anyway, the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, the moment of time is the issue. It's in that moment he showed him all of time, past, present, and future. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world, all the suffering that man was going through, all the heartache and oppression, everything. He saw it. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee." In other words, he could fix everything. "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." Well, if Jesus had heard him say that and he lied, that all the kingdoms of the earth, from past to the present to the future, were given over to Satan, he would have said, "That's not true." But he didn't say that. "If therefore thou wilt worship," doesn't mean worship like we worship God, it just means give him recognition of some kind. "All this shall be thine." All shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve." You got to believe that was tempting. To be able to fix every problem and every pain and every bit of suffering and every oppression and everything that we all think is wrong, he could have fixed in a moment of time. Past, present, and future. See, anybody, you see that? He could have gotten elected whom he wanted elected. Now, where else does it say, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? Remember?
Yeah, he talked to Peter.
Said to Peter.
"Thou art the Christ." No, that's not that. He said that.
Well, it's where he...
"Don't let him crucify you."
Don't let him crucify you. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest the things which be of man, and not of God." And Paul says, If you serve man, you can't serve God.
It's interesting how the Bible's written where there's never any consideration, or he never, Jesus didn't say, well, let me think about that. You know, it's like everything is left out of the law for good reason.
And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Do you savor the things which be of man? You're not serving God. You're being deceived. Do you esteem what the world esteems? Do you want what the world wants? And you can't serve God.
Seems to be something at stake here.
Salvation.
It's, what's the devil's point? Why does he need Christ? God already gave him everything, the world anyway. His friends and power of the air and all the business. Why does he need Christ? Why does this need us? What is this all about?
Your mind doesn't need Christ.
But the devil seems to need him.
Well, the devil knows. He knows what's going to happen. The devil can see in the future just like Jesus can. He can move through time. He knows what's going to happen. If Jesus would just take one step towards savoring the things of man, then the devil would have been saved.
Then the devil would be God.
Well, he already is for this world.
Apparently he wants more. Something.
Yeah, he wants to be God of eternity too.
Of the universe, yeah, of all time, of everything. Yeah.
The devil's in a deep pit somewhere, but his minions are everywhere and every man. All right, back to Colossians 3. And this is the same thing said in a different way. Chapter 3, verse 1. If thou then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God, set your affection, set your mind, set every aspect of you on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. But you're not dead until you're dead. Your life isn't hid with Christ in God until your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's why repentance is so important, because repentance affirms here that you're coming to a point where you're agreeing that you're dead. That's the purpose of repentance. That's why the preaching of the cross is so critical, because the cross affected your death, or it caused your death to come to pass. That's what happened on the cross. All men died. But you've got to come to the end of everything in time and space, everything in and of the world. That's the only way you can set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Otherwise, you're kidding yourself. Then again, it repeats it. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Because of all that, mortify. Mortify means see as dead. Mortify, therefore, your members, and it's talking about your being. This isn't talking about anybody else's being right now. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Well, maybe you stop fornicating after the flesh, but what God defines fornication is going somewhere other than Him for your sustenance. Hosea married a whore so that Israel and we could see that. Does anybody believe that? See, if you go anywhere other than God for your sustenance,
just as a comment, we've been studying the three-year cycle, and in some of our conversations, it's like your sustenance has a lot to do with your identity, and you go other places seeking to be somebody that you're not. If your life is Christ, but you're caught up in politics or some other sport,
something else in the world,
then you're feeding a false identity and getting life from it. And if you don't see that you're doing that, you just keep doing it.
Well, sustenance is a particular word, though. Everything you said was right. But sustenance is a definite. The word means it's what keeps you alive, what food you eat, So it's your sustenance, is first and foremost what you eat or drink. More than likely, it can be extended to what you said, too.
Yeah, you've taught about what you drink is what gives you self-worth. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yes, and this is what we've been talking about. Jesus is the living water, and that water, drinking the water of his well, gives us...
And that's why every time you drink water, you should remember that. That's the whole point. And why every time you take solid food, you should think and see that's the flesh of the Son. Every time you drink any liquid, you see that's the blood of the Son. And that keeps your mind from roaring off, because you eat for your sustenance. Well, now, including that, your spiritual sustenance. Again, if you go any place other than God, if you lean on your own arm of understanding for anything other than God, then you're committing fornication spiritually. Mortify, consider dead your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness. We're starting to get into trouble now, because each one of these things are something that spots the garment. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, each one of those things, we could spend a long time studying the full extent of what each of those mean. But I promise you, it's something that most people do every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whenever you do that, your garment is spotted by the flesh. That's why that scripture in Jude is so important. And some have compassion, pulling them out of the fire. And others save with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. This isn't some religious crap that's being put down. It's everything that this book is about, and everything that Jesus Christ and the Father and the Son are about, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, but he's real gentle about it. He waits until you no longer get sustenance from that. But that doesn't make repentance any less important. But remember, the evil one, which is you, the instead of Christ, which is you, your mind, the Antichrist, which is your mind, whose number is 666, which is your mind, he's doing everything and every trick in the universe, more subtle than any other thing in the universe, to cause you to keep yourself in the picture. So when we exchange gods, the evil one is still messing with you, always trying to get you in the picture. Always trying to get you to return to I, me. I know a great deal about that.
I'm just thinking some of the contrast of the devil is the prince and power of the air, time, and space, whereas God is God of eternity, which is always the ever present moment, which is a complete different place than this time, space, thought, consideration, action based on education, whatever it is. It's like God's life is spontaneous and without thought. Without thought, just is.
That's why I keep saying to you, you never have anything to do.
Yeah.
Because you never plan something. You respond to him and him alone. And this is what the meaning of faith is. If faith isn't automatic, it's not faith. You can't repent of something that you think is good, that you gain sustenance and satisfaction from. You can't repent of that. And that's why it's so critical that if you can't repent of it, you ask God to show it to you by his Spirit, and he will. This, we read all those in verse 5. Now it says, For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now he's not talking about the world. That's not the children of disobedience. He's not talking about the people in the world. He's talking about believers. And the wrath of God comes on you. Why? So that you can understand repentance. I find it just fascinating to me that there were so many deals going on, we would have never had a financial problem again, but there were so many deals that I put God's name on and then I was electrocuted. Now, I'm not saying God did it, but he certainly knew it was going to happen because I was going off the track. I was putting God's name and stuff I thought up. It's just goofy. And I was still preaching the cross, but I wasn't repenting from what... I mean, I didn't realize it. I didn't know that was... I thought I was doing good things.
Well, we saw that verse 6. That's happening to somebody else.
No, sir.
Yeah.
In the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. Now, again, this is talking to believers. The Bible is never to the world. In the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. That's I can certainly confess that was me. Probably still is me in the ways I don't yet understand. That's why I can never say I've arrived. But I know this, that if the preaching of the cross doesn't produce repentance, then it's not the power of God. Then it's, but it is the power of God. But if it doesn't produce repentance in the listeners, then the listeners have a whole bunch of stuff that they still think is right in the world. Let's go on. But now you also put off all these. That's a positive confession, if you will. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, male or female, young or old, that's all gone. Because now, again, it's a positive confession, we are the body of Christ, and members or cells in particular. But you're not the body of Christ unless you're the body of Christ.
The link here, believing. It seems like the link to whether it's true or not is whether you believe it or not.
Well, it's not just believe it. It's also it's how you live your life.
It's your faith, which drives your actions.
Well, everybody thinks if once you call yourself a Christian, everybody thinks that faith drives their actions. I certainly did. Then I found out. My actions had nothing to do with God. Those actions that my great plans. Now I pray that none of you get electrocuted, but that's the kind of stuff he'll do to keep you in line. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, or love is what it means, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father and by him. And elsewhere it says, whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. But when you do it as unto the Lord, and this is the biggie, you can have no investment in the outcome. It matters not whether it succeeds or doesn't succeed, because that's how you do it, is unto the Lord. The outcome is never your business. And that entails every aspect of your life and my life. Whatsoever you do, thought, word, or deed, do heartily as unto the Lord. That doesn't mean you really work hard to do it right. It means you have no investment in the outcome. That's this, and if this one doesn't produce repentance in you, nothing will. Because you always have investment in the outcome, or I did. Maybe you're better than I am. As long as you have investment in the outcome, it probably won't happen. Whatever you think. Anyway, any response to any of this? Again, changing gods. But you don't change gods and then it's over. You change gods to understand that the evil one is still constantly coming at you, just like he did in Christ. He'll use whatever trick in the universe to get your attention. And one could be, well, if you believe whatever you do in thought, word, and deed is doing, make sure you do your very best, then you'll find out. You'll always be disappointed because you have an investment in the outcome. Or you'll have joy. Oh my God, look, let's finish this. And if you have negative thought, but when if it doesn't work, and positive thoughts, if it works, then that's the evidence. You have an investment in the outcome, and you're doing it as unto you. And the reason is, if you have an investment, positive or negative, in the outcome, it's an idol. No, I can't. That can't be an idol. That one's too important. No, it's still an idol. All right, that's enough. Anybody?
I just have one lingering thought that I'd never seen before when Jesus was in the wilderness. All that time he was there, he was being tempted with the devil up to the last four temptations. But he was, I suspect, throughout that 40 days.
Oh, it was constant.
The devil saying, "You idiot, what are you doing? You don't need to do all this, blah, 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 blah." I've just never seen that aspect of the 40 days of holiness.
Amen. Take it big, guy.